on March 24, 2006, National Polygamy Advocate Mark Henkel was interviewed by Jennifer Dahl in research for the CBS TV affiliate KUTV.
Hello, Channel 2 News.
Yes, may I speak with Jennifer Dahl, please?
This is?
Hello, this is Mark Henkel with TruthBearer.org.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm responding to your media request.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. I do appreciate it.
I'm glad to. I did want to let you know before we begin that this is being recorded, and I wanted you to know that and make sure you understood and accepted that.
Yep, that's fine.
Super. How may I help you?
I just kind of wanted to find out some more information in... You know, with the, we here, I'm not from Utah in particular, but since moving here about 5 years ago, we've covered a lot of polygamy stories, in particular with the FLDS Church. And in doing some more research recently, I've discovered that there are other religious-based groups that practice polygamy. And that's, I'm just trying to kind of get an overview today of how, why... How and, you know, how you guys have come together and just kind of understand more about you and your organization.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for me, it's just a research. Today's phone call is more of a research background before I go any further. So
okay.
If you want to feel free to kind of tell me
mm-hmm.
What you can, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that at least somebody in the Mormon land media is willing to step outside of... your geographic bubble of
right.
Mormon land. When I say Mormon land, I mean the whole non-bordered area of Utah and Arizona.
Arizona.
Where you're a minority if you're not Mormon, basically.
Right. Well, and I am not Mormon.
Yeah.
So.
a neutral noun is not modified by an absent adjective, but either whether it be xenophobic or probably more likely Mormon-centric bias. It appears that the Mormon land media wants to own possession of the word meaning polygamy without the adjective. All you guys know about is Mormon polygamy, but you never delineate that. There is a difference of Christian polygamy, Muslim polygamy, and other forms. And you routinely do that, and when there's opportunity to have the real news, you won't even acknowledge beyond that. You know, I do an interview with the Standard Examiner. I let them understand the national basis and the view of that. That's what we get cut from the article. Deseret News, here's a false report from Family News and Focus that completely misquotes me, and then does a report based on that, and instead of coming to me, quoting me, I mean, Family News and Focus quotes me as the national spokesperson of the national level of polygamy, quotes me, doesn't use me as conservative evangelical Christian, but instead goes to another Mormon in your Mormon polygamy area and perpetuates a complete false article in the 19th of March issue of Deseret News, and doesn't even, all based on misquoted article instead of going to the source, which was me in the first place, to find out that I'd been misquoted. So, routinely, the Mormon land media seems to want to own possession of the meaning of polygamy, whether to either make it look bad or to make it look that Mormon heritage owns the definition. And it's becoming problematic, really. Because
well, I'm not affiliated with the Deseret News or the Standard Examiner at all, and that's
mm-hmm.
not our focus, and so
well,
please
I just,
don't let me in with them.
Well, I understand.
Know.
It's in general, the overall Mormon land mentality. Even Shirtless Polygamy Primer is, again, you guys keep saying the polygamists. No, it is Mormon polygamists. In fact, you read every single thing in Shirtless Polygamy Primer, it's all Mormon polygamists in your Mormon polygamy land area. And there is so much more, but you continue to associate all polygamy with these one little crime areas, such as what has happened with FLDS. And that's why we're leery of the Mormon land media, because you guys seem to want to own possession of it, while at the same time trying to... focus specifically on the criminals, the serious criminals that's gone on with FLDS and Warren Jeffs and all that.
Right. Well, tell me more about your group.
Okay. Well, we're not a group, okay? So
okay.
let's get the whole concept of sects and groups and compounds and all that out of the mindset here. That is purely the few handful groups of your Mormon polygamy communities that in your Mormon land area. We are a national cross-denominational organization of individuals and pastors who have come to the understanding that the Bible absolutely never established a one-man, one-woman doctrine, and see that we have a culture of abandoned single moms and marriage-phobic baby daddy player males, and instead we're saying that men should be rising up and being real men and caring and solving these problems instead of the this ridiculous culture we now have. We are serious Bible-believing Christians. We're not the newbies. We're the ones who seriously study the Old and New Testament Bible only. Contrary to the so-called mainstream Mormon institution, if it involves the Book of Mormon, if the religion comes from the Book of Mormon or comes from the Doctrine and Covenants, it's Mormon and polygamy. It is not anything else. And ironically, the mainstream Mormon institution is the one that rejected its original religion and decided to change and become something new. And technically speaking, one could say that the fundamentalists were the real religion, as opposed to of that Mormonism than the Mormon mainstream. But the point is that Christian polygamy has nothing to do with that. And so when the Mormon institution mainstream tries to suggest that it's not Mormon because Mormons rejected polygamy, they're then trying to then create a false assumption that that means they're Christian polygamists, which they are not. If it involves the Book of Mormon, it's Mormon polygamy, period.
Okay, so how did you come together as an organization?
Well, the history, you can find the history at christianpolygamy.info website, forward slash history specifically, but it's the .info site, not .com, it's christianpolygamy.info,
okay.
And you'll see the history link, history of the movement. Basically, the internet is what made this movement possible, because individuals and pastors in their own churches, and we're talking from Baptists to Pentecostals, super grace-based denominations to super law-based denominations, individuals in their own churches do some real Bible studying. In fact, we're very sola scriptura,
mm-hmm.
Which is the original foundation of the Reformation, which brought Protestantism out of the Catholicism. And as individuals being, you know, in lone situations, there's no support. Suddenly the internet made it possible, because serious Bible students study the Bible, say, you know, there's a serious contradiction. How is it that Abraham could have three wives and be the father of the faith? Or the 12 tribes of Israel born of four wives? Or Moses, the man himself who wrote Adam and Eve and wrote the one flesh passages, he's recorded as having two wives. Now, how could that be? And so through that deep study, we keep studying it, we realize that that was an invention of the Catholic institution when Christianity changed from being a persecuted religion in the first two or three centuries and then became the political powerhouse of the Catholic institution in the fourth century and so forth. And that's when the doctrines got man-made and invented. The point is that because of the internet, we're able to now, we go searching for it, we find it, and we realize, you know what, there are other conservative evangelical Christians who understand this. And we're looking around and seeing a world littered with abandoned single moms and littered with marriage phobic player baby daddies.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And we're talking about men who would rise up and be real men and really care about women, give women the options. You know, some women want to work, then they can work, and some women want to stay home, and they can stay home. And the ones that go to work know that their children are being raised by love in the family by those who want to, and not being raised by low paid, underpaid strangers passing their own stranger values.
So some of your beliefs came, or some of the practice came about because of non-religious based individuals who weren't practicing and taking the responsibility of being a father seriously. Am I understanding that correctly?
Non-religious based.
If a single, from what I'm hearing from you, is that, you know, some dads decided to abandon their kids and abandon their wives and just take off and go do something that wasn't religiously founded. And so that is part of it.
Are you familiar with our modern society?
Well, sure.
Well,
yeah.
that's what we're saying. Our modern society is littered with like that. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
Okay, we're not saying that we are the ones who littered it. What we're saying is that's a consequence of the one man, one woman doctrine.
Sure.
That was an invention of the Catholic institution. See, understand, we're first and primarily Christians, and we believe the truth because it is the truth first, regardless of anything else.
Okay.
All right? And as Christians, we say we are continuing the Reformation. Are you familiar with what the Reformation refers to specifically in the history? Okay. Protestantism was born of the Reformation, is what it's called. The era that when Martin Luther, basically, the Catholic institution had created so many man-made doctrines and had obtained absolute power over all the governments and was enforcing these things, and so there was no freedom of conscience, and was not allowing the people to read the Bible themselves. So they were saying, believe what we tell you. I mean, talk about ultimate cult control. And said, believe what we tell you. So the Reformation in the 1400s and 1500s became the battle cry called Sola Scriptura, meaning the doctrine of God is based only on the Scripture. It is not based on man-made traditions and doctrines. And that's what led to Protestantism. They were protesting the man-made doctrines of the Catholic institution, and at that time, the Catholic institution was not wanting the masses to read their own scriptures, so that they could verify that it wasn't truthful. So that's what led to Protestantism. It's in that period in history is called the Reformation. The battle cry of the Reformation is Sola Scriptura. If we say that our faith is based on the Scripture, then that's what we have to believe, regardless, whatever it says. And so we've come to, as Protestants, that's the heritage and the tradition of Protestantism. And that's also what brought the settlers to the New World in the 1500s and 1600s, is they were fleeing the governments that were exactly fleeing the very governments that were controlled by the Catholic institution, and they have the freedom of conscience and the freedom to believe what of their conscience, not on what they were being dictated to. So again, we're continuing that exact tradition of and heritage of continuing the Reformation, that of Sola Scriptura. So if we really study the scriptures, we come to the realization that there absolutely nowhere do you ever see polygamy called a sin, condemned. And moreover, you've got examples of the holiest examples in the Bible. Moses, Abraham, Israel, David, described, and not described, but having many known named wives. And God himself describes himself as a polygamist in Jeremiah 3 and Ezekiel 23. Jesus Christ describes himself as coming to marry five wise virgins in Matthew 25. There's just so much evidence that shows that the idea of one man, one woman is nothing more than an invention. And now, with that, we want to bring the truth to our fellow Christians, just like the Reformers did in the Reformation. If we say we believe the truth, let's believe the truth. But there's more to it. The reality is, look at our world and the consequence of using government to enforce the Catholic institution's invention of one man, one woman doctrine, which, of course, remember, what Americanism was supposed to be about in the first place was fleeing that, right?
Right.
Look at the consequence. We have taught the world this concept, and instead we've reaped the world of marriage-phobic baby daddies and abandoned single moms. And now we're going to say it's criminal for men that care about marriage, the opposite of marriage-phobic, but marriage-committed, really wanting marriage and really caring about women and giving them the options to improve their lives. We've got Christian polygamous families where an abandoned single mom who had been raped and attacked numerously by her ex-husband, mm-hmm, and lost all custody, all ground for custody and all that, then through time with their church, going together and in fellowship and so forth, eventually came to the realization and a calling together of as a family. I mean, it was total consensual. There's nothing against any woman's will, including a first wife, and that's our standard. We it's always fully consenting adults. If it's not consenting, right, if we're all concerned, then it's not legitimate.
Well, which is a huge difference. Oh. That in and of itself is a huge difference, so, than Mormon practicing polygamy.
Oh, absolutely.
That is part of the huge problem here is that, and I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't
no,
know.
No, that's why we're frustrated.
But kids and mm-hmm, that are forced into marriages and they don't know better or they have no choice.
Absolutely.
That is very interesting.
Oh, we've got what's called the standard of Christian polygamy. In order to determine whether it's real Christian polygamy or not, is what we call Love Not Force. And there's even a website called lovenotforce.com. And that is that any person who would be called of God to have more than one wife, the wife will too. And you cannot force it on a wife. It's consenting adults all around, period. And if it's not consenting adults, then if it's love not for, it is not love not force, then it's not Christian polygamy.
Very interesting.
Okay.
How long has Christian polygamy been practiced? Longer than probably...
Well, there's two ways to understand that. First of all, that you could say that there's been centuries of gestation of individuals in various places. But a movement begins when the usable, duplicatable rhetoric is laid down and then repeated like in a multi-level fashion. You know what I mean? Somebody tells it and they tell it. So it's all laid out and others can pass.
So because of the Internet, that kind of opened up
it. It made it possible. That's exactly right. So it started in 1994. And basically they were laid down in a newspaper that I published up here in Southern Maine called The Standard Bearer.
Okay.
And then by 96, one of the readers brought those arguments to the internet, and by 97, Truth Bearer website was created, and then by January 98, the newspaper was no more because the movement of Christian polygamy was growing, and Truth Bearer had already just exploded since then.
Do you feel as though you have to be protective of your family because of the notion of Mormon-based polygamy?
Totally. Well, I mean, understand, there is a... Did you see the Newsweek article recently? About
yes.
It? You did?
Okay. Yes.
There is... like it's you know one activist is you know the a Mormon polygamy at a sort of like a mayor level, and
right.
then there is the geographic Mormon land area sort of like a governor type level of voices in harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good people. I mean I know Mary Batchelor
right.
and them, but then that was Mormon polygamy, and then you go to outside of that the national level, and that's where we are.
Okay.
So the let's see, let's wrap that to your question here.
Is it where you live, is it, not, I mean, are you...
Yes, we have to protect because of the misrepresentation. Because I'm the national polygamy advocate, I absolutely, my name is out there on a national level. And
okay.
I absolutely, that's why I don't answer the question of what my family is, whatever. And I will say this, I am very, very happily married, never divorced for many, many, many years.
Okay.
Okay, and that's all you're
right.
going to get. I'm not going to expose my family to the risks otherwise. That's the price of being a national level advocate.
Okay.
Because
so,
of that.
So you advocate and protect your family at the same time.
Oh, totally, totally. It's necessary to understand that you really have to look to the adjectives, that polygamy is not defined by the criminal, for example, the specific criminals within FLDS.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's all the media ever gets out to. And for example, hyper-ranting Tapestry Against Polygamy, Rowena Erickson, we've reached out to them years and years ago. Yet we oppose abuse also. We've always opposed abuse. And we've tried to reach out and say, you know what, let's work together and bring an end to the abuse. Because this is what we see as the problem that criminalization of polygamy creates, is that you put a... Consider a girl. She's an underage girl, and she's in a polygamous family, and she loves her brothers and her sisters and her moms and her whole family.
Right.
One male adult perpetrates a crime against her. What can she do? If she reports that, she doesn't just put the perpetrator at risk. She now puts her brothers and sisters and moms and her entire family in jeopardy legally. And
yeah.
and separation completely. She can't do anything about it without destroying everybody else.
Right.
That is horrendous. We need to bring an end to make it possible. So the whole point of the laws...
Well, look at the Kingston family. That's precisely what happened there.
And that's the problem. And this is what we keep saying. But you've got the ones, you know, who have been hurt and abused, and we've tried to reach out to bring healing to them, but they refuse. You know, they just simply want to propagandize that all polygamy is always abusive, and it's not. And say, you know what? We want to stop that abuse also, because that's not what we're about. We absolutely do not want that.
Right.
And so all these individuals from the Tapestry group, for example, they are not anti-polygamy group. They are a anti-fundamentalist Mormon polygamy group of specific groups that they've come from. They don't know anything about Christian polygamy. They don't know anything about other forms, and yet they put themselves out there like they know all polygamy, and the Mormon media just eat them up.
So how do you reach out to people? How do you reach out? Because I've never heard of it before, and certainly there may be some people in Utah. I don't know that to be the case, but how do you reach out to them, and how do you, is it through church meeting? Is it through the website? Is it, because I had never heard of it before until I started looking after reading that Newsweek
right.
article.
Right. Well, it is, now when you say reach out, I had just finished talking about reaching out to try to help healing for
not,
a tapestry, and
right,
I'm wondering
not,
if you mean with
no,
that.
No.
Or
no,
if you meant
I
our
mean
own people.
To like a single mother or mm-hmm. or a mother who's in a very abusive relationship, or a single mother who's struggling to make ends meet.
Right.
Do you go out and reach out to them?
Okay,
or?
Well, it's not like, you know, it's some kind of a targeting. Boop, boop.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like some like, now they, right. don't, lest we be accused of, you know, trying to attack the vulnerable.
No,
you know, God forbid. No, it's more of a really Christians in our own churches, and just building the relationships. And you know, and as a family, you see the you see a single woman in church with her her children, and you just be friends, and just the relationship grows. It's not a forced situation like that.
Okay.
You know, it's and like, for example, one of the abusive situations I was talking about, this is, again, why the law is just so wrong, is that in one particular case, now understanding that rape is about power abuse. It's more than even the sexual. And especially, you know, regardless. Well, anyway, you take one ex in one situation where there was a an abandoned single mom. She had been fully abused, fully rejected, and even afterwards, you know, just finally rejected. And ends up in a building a friendship and a relationship with a another solid Christian family in her church. They grow. They end up in a family. It ends up becoming a situation. Now suddenly, one wife is able to work and the other one is able to go to school and get an education. And then when that was accomplished, they switched and the other one was able to get an education. Now they both got wonderful educations. The children are being raised in love. They both have opportunities. And the husband is an entrepreneur. So I mean, the children. The point being is that now their entire lives are improved that they never otherwise would have had, and all of a sudden, now the abusive rapist ex-husband, who never would have had a ground for custody, now blindsides them,
right?
And then uses the usually unenforced criminal law to try to abuse them through civil law to then pursue and drain all their money for legal fees and fighting a custody battle that he never otherwise would have had ground for.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this is really why the anti-polygamy laws are just so abusive, and you have to look to the individual situation. All the side issues of criminality must absolutely be addressed. But that's not what polygamy is. Polygamy is a neutral word. You deal with each crime based on the crime itself.
So are you paying close attention then to the gay marriage laws that are in the debate that's going on?
We are. However, it is imperative to explain, because this is the new lie that's trying to be put out there, that somehow we are learning from the homosexuals. We are actually, if anything, when it comes to the court decisions, the use of Romer v. Evans in 1996 is not about following the homosexuals, but rather using the advice of conservative Justice Scalia himself, who said in his very dissent. Justice Scalia wrote at Romer v. Evans, he said, polygamists and those who have a polygamous orientation, which we don't believe an orientation idea, that's a homosexual idea, have been singled out by these provisions for much more severe treatment than simply mere denial of favored status. The court's disposition in Romer v. Evans suggests that these provisions against polygamists are unconstitutional and that polygamy must be permitted in these states unless, of course, polygamists for some reason have fewer constitutional rights than homosexuals. Then in Lawrence v. Texas in 2003.
Right.
Again, it's not the homosexuals who are telling us. It's conservative Justice Scalia in his very writings who's telling us. He said in his dissent to Lawrence v. Texas, state laws against bigamy, same-sex marriage, adult incest, prostitution, and so forth and so on are sustainable only in light of Bauer's validations of laws based on moral choices. Every single one of these laws is called into question by the Lawrence v. Texas decision, and the court makes no effort to cabin the scope of its decision to exclude them. And so therefore he's saying that he's giving the advice that the polygamists have those cases. So that's Justice Scalia's advice we're following. We're following a conservative. And then on top of that, one more decision which hasn't been mentioned yet, and that's the February 21st decision that just came out from Roberts Supreme Court of the Gonzalez versus Ocentra Espirita Beneficente Uneo de Vegetal, which was the UDV WASTA T case of which established the Religious Freedom Restoration Act back to the government having a compelling interest, having to prove a compelling interest. So this is conservatives and conservative Scalia giving us the advice. We're not following the homosexuals like they taught us the way. Absolutely not. Because as far as we're concerned, we're not after trying to get the legalization. We're after decriminalization. And we're saying government doesn't have any authority to be defining marriage because it's not in the Constitution. The Tenth Amendment says that if it's not there, the government has no authority.
So if I am understanding you correctly, your goal in kind of educating
mm-hmm.
the public about
right.
Christian-based polygamy
right.
is this. Don't lump us together with FLDS or Mormon-based polygamists, because they are They're committing crimes. They're forcing underage. They're raping, essentially.
Well, not all Mormon polygamists are committing crimes.
Right.
I don't want to suggest that.
Right.
Mary Batchelor, for example, is certainly not suggesting that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Warren Jeffs and the...
Exactly.
Those that are forcing underage children or forcing anyone.
Any crimes.
So what you're trying to do is disenfranchise the crime with polygamy.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
I'm saying polygamy stands on its own. Other crimes are other crimes and need to be correctly
prosecuted.
That's exactly correct. Polygamy in and of itself is neutral. It doesn't do anything. It's just numerical.
Okay. Okay.
Seriously.
Well, that certainly helps me understand things, because now I understand your position when you're going after a Standard Examiner or the Deseret News, because they're saying polygamists and they're not saying...
They're not saying Mormon polygamists.
Mormon, okay.
Exactly. And even within that, you need to specify which Mormon polygamists.
Exactly.
Because even not all Mormon polygamists are the same.
Right.
I mean, I definitely will give credit... Are you there?
Hello, Channel 2. This is Jennifer.
Yes, we just got disconnected.
Yes.
Okay, as I was saying, I would definitely give credit to Mary Batchelor and Linda Kelch. They're not advocating the underage thing or anything of that nature.
Okay.
You know, so even within Mormon polygamy, not all of them are criminals. You know, I don't want to broad base that.
Sure. Okay.
But the problem ultimately is that the religious difference, Mormon polygamy originates from D&C 132, the Doctrine and Covenants of 132, which is a Mormon book.
Okay.
And within that, it does have a rather oppressive concept of Joseph Smith is being told that God is telling him that this is the new way, and that if his wife Emma Smith doesn't like it, well, she will be destroyed. And that's pretty offensive to outside world, I understand.
Right.
The same idea also that Brigham Young created a doctrine, I believe it was, I believe he was the one who created it, that said there is this idea of the pre-existence of souls. That means that souls are already existing before they're born. I'm not talking about reincarnation. This is before they're born. And that Mormons have a duty to marry as many wives, to have as many children, so that these pre-existing souls will be born in the holy Mormon families instead of the wicked.
Right.
That doctrine also puts a forced obligation upon women to be polygamous. And so because of those paradigms, people think that that's what polygamy is. But polygamy is just a general neutral word. Those are the paradigms of Mormon polygamy behind it, and why it is anathema, because anti-choice is anathema to Americans. And that doesn't give a woman a choice, and that's why it's anathema. But we're talking about consenting, adults, non-criminal, uncoerced, polygamy. And the Christian paradigm is the model of husbands in the churches, where husbands are loving their wives, nurturing as Christ loves the churches. Christ went to the cross for the churches. He didn't pound his chest and beat us up. It's
right.
A loving, merciful giving. That's the model of Christian polygamy. And we're talking consenting adults.
And just out of curiosity, do families reside under one roof, or does it vary, or?
Well, it's not monolithic in that regard. It's as any normal adult, and remember, we're talking adults. You organize your way with what works best for you emotionally.
For you. Okay.
That's the bottom line. What works best. Some may want separate houses just for the needing to have a separate escape room or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And some just cannot. Some other families where they just can't cope being apart that long.
Okay.
So it's whatever works for the individuals. They organize that. But the idea that somehow this is some big man beating up on women, it's the other way around. If you really think about it, intelligent women in a situation, if anything, they're going to gang up on him.
Right.
There's no way he's going to get away with it and keep his family together. Seriously.
That's true.
when people start realizing it, that's probably the one good thing that's funny about the Big Love Show, is it really does show that the sexual fantasy of men, all the sexual fantasy out there is ridiculous, and if anything, it shows that it's a pain in the neck for the guy.
Right, it's a lot of pressure.
It's it requires a lot of maturity. Now, granted, I'm not thrilled with all the some of the ways I see the character in Big Love operating necessarily.
I have not seen it.
Okay.
So I would like to see it, but I have not seen it.
Well, I've kind of had to as a matter of obligation of what
sure.
I do.
Yes.
Just so that I'm informed. It's far
right.
more, it's, you know, now I know why I didn't have HBO before.
Right.
Far more graphic than I had
yes.
to be. It obviously goes to a secular audience rather than any kind of religious, so I'm sure
right.
many Christians and Mormons are probably not going to see the show.
Right.
Just because of the unnecessarily graphic,
yes.
sexually graphic
okay.
nature. It's really not necessary. Ultimately, I think it's just going to be a soap opera based around a polygamous premise.
Okay.
But the point is that husbands really have to grow up and understand how women are. And when I say understand, I don't mean in a manipulative way, but to really care and help facilitate and nurture with and be able to deal with women. I mean, women are different from us guys, not in a bad way, just a totally
right.
unique way. And it's just it's a facilitatory, mature kind of man that can pull this off, not some kind of fleshly foolishness. If it's all about sex, it'll fall apart. And it will never last.
Do you have any figures? Do you have any numbers on how many Christian-based polygamists are practicing in the United States?
Well, we generally don't like answering that question just because
okay.
it still puts us at risk.
Okay.
You know, we would say that there is a
more than we think.
Oh, definitely. Less than 100,000, I'd say.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but understand also. You may have heard the soundbite, polygamy rights is the next civil rights battle, and that's mine. I'm the one who's been saying it in news reports for the last 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
All we're after is freedom, and we're saying consenting adults in a caring, nurturing environment cannot be against the law, and that government has no authority to be criminalizing that in the first place. And you have to notice the differences between paradigms and deal only with each individual auxiliary crimes, if you will, and deal with them individually.
Okay. How long have you been, since 94,
yeah.
really crusading and been an advocate? Okay.
Yes.
Would you please email me? For right now, you've given me a lot to kind of...
A lot to digest, yes.
A lot to digest.
Well, I can give you some websites of, to...
Can you?
Specific.
And can you also, because you cited some specific Supreme Court cases that I'd like to look at as well.
Sure.
Do you mind emailing me those? Just the headers so that I can then go look on my own and
okay.
then just kind of wrap up my head around it over the weekend and think about it and stuff, and I may email you on Monday because I'm sure I'll have
okay.
as soon as we hang up the phone I'll have a ton more questions.
Okay, well it would probably be easier to I could just send you the titles and you can find them at findlaw.com.
Great.
That'll work for you?
Yeah, that'd be
yeah,
great.
Yeah, okay.
And then a couple of websites. Do you have a couple?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
There is the media site where we distribute the op-eds and press releases and so forth.
Okay.
And that's propolygamy.com with the dash in the middle, pro-polygamy.com. And you can click the articles archive and see all the past op-eds and press
okay.
releases there. And they've for the last few years. There's also christianpolygamy.info. Which basically is the definitive resource of basically the definitions of the term of terms and the history and the movement and Love Not
okay.
Force, lovenotforce.com. That's the basically the principles of Love Not Force and how that emerged in 1999. Generally speaking, in a nutshell, what happened was is some guys suddenly started rising up saying, God called me to have another wife, and if my
right.
wife doesn't like it, well, she's disobeying God because
okay.
God told me. And we said, uh-uh.
That's not okay.
Yeah, I was like, how convenient. Yeah, God calls
okay.
you and not her. Yeah, isn't
uh-huh.
that convenient? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we put the kibosh on that real quickly.
Okay.
And that's what Love Not, that's how Love Not Force emerged,
okay.
As a matter of basically calling that the standard of Christian polygamy. All the Bible arguments are answered at biblicalpolygamy.com.
Okay.
And
that should be plenty.
I would think so. And they definitely, I think those basically touch on the various subtopics that people have questions about.
Okay.
And of course, there's the truthbearer.org website.
Yes, you know, and I've been there.
Yeah,
so.
Right. And our media reports and various articles that we've got there. Super.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate your time. I really do. And I will look over those court cases, and if it's all right with you, I may email you on Monday with some follow-up questions.
Okay, and then that would follow up in some kind of a report?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I did not tape record this conversation. This was, like I said, more for me for research purposes, so it will not end up on air.
Okay.
I'm just kind of doing it right now for research.
I understand.
And I will be in touch in the future, so thank you. Have a great weekend.
That sounds great. And, I can give you a telephone number here if you want.
Oh, great. That's wonderful.
Okay. So for the future.
Yes.
But not for broadcast, obviously.
No, absolutely. Yes, I understand that.
It is...
Okay.
But it would be better to email first.
Okay. I will definitely do that.
Super. Then we will be in touch.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. Now you too.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Mark Henkel is National Polygamy Advocate, presenting polygamy to the public since 1994. NationalPolygamyAdvocate.com.